A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Jim's booked a table in a theatre pub for the big match, and Vish and Luke are both wearing shackets. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair. It's Friday 20th, 9th of March. I'm Pete Donaldson.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Jim Campbell.
It's a fleece. And I am also wearing a shacket.
But we're not.
Yeah.
What are you wearing? Fleeces.
What's the difference between a shacket and a fleece?
Oh, we haven't got time for that.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Let's start.
We're in flies and you're in a shacket.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, Marcus isn't here because he, every Easter, travels to a forest and he dresses as a big egg and he gets some big survivalists to chase him down.
It's like Midsummer.
And if you catch him, you can eat him.
It's like Midsummer, isn't it?
By that celebrity that we can't name.
It is. Yeah. The Premier League is back this weekend, but if, like Marcus Speller, the Eggman of Easter time, you haven't quite let go of the international football just yet, then catch yesterday's England special with Luke and Marcus. Lot of people getting quite upset about your forward line and, and midfield and defence and goalkeeper.
I also, I made the cardinal error of
saying being on
involved,
the internet.
Being involved with content and making a mistake. And so I said that Oliver Watkins, known to us as Ollie Watkins. Yeah, he might actually just be called Ollie Watkins, I haven't checked.
It's Olinda.
That's another mistake. Mm. Oleander Watkins. Mm. He's in Harry Potter.
Oliphacent.
I said he was a good penalty taker, and his penalty record isn't actually that good. So that was basically the right. sum total of the discord.
Okay.
Around yesterday's show. But it's much better than that, I promise you that.
Okie dokie. Mm. Well, they did discuss some of the big talking points around England after the very last games before Gareth Nims' final Euros selection. So make sure you catch that after today's show. And of course, subscribe, because then you won't miss anything, to be quite frank.
Now, Marcus and I had a really big debate, a really strong debate about someone. I forget who it was. It's worth listening to.
Brilliant. What a testimony.
People have got nothing else to do at Easter. This is 4 days of people doing nothing, isn't it?
So why not waste your time with the Football Ramble? That's what 100%. I say. Enjoy looking forward
to
it.
If you're at Mass, do it like when you're at school. Just have one ear in.
Yes.
Yeah. Up the sleeve.
Wear a short hat. Yeah. Short hat, a long hat, and short headphones.
You said, do what you do at school. And Pete said, yeah, wear a long hat.
Wear a long hat.
What school did you go to?
Did you not wear the John McCurrick school of...
Victorian England.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the match taking place around the first Easter egg vomit of the day. Sunday, 4:30, Manchester City versus Arsenal. Let's get right into it, guys. Manchester City facing Arsenal for the first time since they obviously got defeated at the Emirates in October. I mean, that was a big result, wasn't it? And we sort of thought that was going to set the pace, set the tone for the rest of the Premier League, Luke.
Did we?
I did.
Good.
I think I was on the show and I said, this is going to set the pace for the rest of the round.
late goal from Martinelli, Jim, from
it was, yeah.
Yeah, it's a massive, massive win for Arsenal, who obviously still sit top of the table on goal difference as we come and record this today. And they've got to do this again. This is exactly what they've got to do again. And it's a far tougher ask this time around because they won't be on their own patch. Mm. But it's one of those games, actually. It's a barn burner. It's barn burner potential. Mm. I don't think on the Ramble we can, in all good conscience, call a game a barn burner before it's happened, because you do get the occasional damp squib.
Could be smouldering at this point.
Could be smouldering. But I think in retrospect, I wouldn't be surprised if we were to be able to call this a barn burner.
There's petrol smells in the air.
Presumably it's the size of the game that Vish wants someone who's now dead to go and do some kind of motivational speech before the game for.
Yeah.
I just realised myself the other day that
he's dead.
Sean Connery. Is he dead?
I just realised the other day
that I'm dead.
He's dead. He's dead. He is dead.
I want to say, though, but very quickly,
I want to say
the number of...
Bond. James Bond.
I've got all of them, Vish, if you want.
Ejector seat, you're joking.
That's a weird
one. Ejector seat, you're joking.
There were a lot of people in my DMs. I would say backing me up, and he's still dead. But
Sean Connery popped in
also
there.
Also wrong people.
Yeah. Well, exactly, yeah. A lot of fellow flat Conneryers, or maybe standing Conneryers.
Yeah.
And then I mentioned to Olympia, my wife, that the stupid thing happened today. I thought Sean Connery was dead, or thought he was still alive.
Mm.
And she
still
went,
confused about it now.
And she went, we literally last month booked tickets to see The Rock at the Prince Charles Cinema as a tribute to Sean.
I feel like I'm rubbing off on you a little bit.
Yeah, I think
disorganized,
you are.
Disorganised administrator, like brain-wise.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So are you clear in your own mind now that he's definitely dead?
Yeah, I'm going to watch The Rock and find, just to be sure.
There is, you know, that him being in that was filmed in the past, so yeah. That doesn't mean he's alive.
It's not a play.
Now. Yeah.
But the way Vish tells the story, even that one, there's like a tone to his voice which makes him sound like he's still not
sure.
Quite sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's some kind of elaborate ruse.
Yeah.
They're not going to bring him out at the end for a standing ovation.
As with everything in the world right now, do your own research.
Exactly, yeah.
Big time.
Someone said you was. Someone
you
said
you
was.
You can't
dead.
Trust the MSM, mate.
No. Yeah.
But anyway, what were we talking about? Arsenal
Man City
versus
Arsenal.
Man City Arsenal.
Is this tie still alive in your mind? Is this league's title still alive?
It's very much alive. Mm. It's 1 point between the top
it's
three
in
teams.
In rude health, isn't it?
I was going to say, and obviously there's 1 point between the top three teams, and of course we can't forget those still deluded Spurs fans as well. but Jim, I was going to say, this is a great Easter weekend treat for the neutral.
Egg melter.
Yeah.
It's an egg melter.
Absolutely.
But for an Arsenal fan or for a Man City fan, this is crunch time. I think that Man City fans are more relaxed about it just because they've got this sheen of confidence / arrogance of not only A, being from Manchester, but B, having done this loads of times before.
I mean, they've got the experience on this side, haven't they? But also, I think the flip side of that is that I can only really speak for myself, but I think it's probably true amongst a lot of Arsenal fans as well. There's a bit less trepidation going into this fixture than there has been before.
Okay.
Purely because of not just the win in the league earlier in the season, but the game in the Charity Shield was obviously very, community chest was very tight as well. And Arsenal were just more competitive, and the problem in the past has been going into these games like hoping that you're going to give a good account of yourself, maybe nick something, and then just getting battered. And seeing the sort of distance between the two teams has been quite demoralising for Arsenal in the past, and then it sort of really, really rocks them. It feels like that's less likely to happen now. Even if they lose on Sunday, I think they'll be able to dust themselves off from it in a way that was that will be different than it has been in previous years. So it's a very, very interesting one. It's funny as well, isn't it? Because obviously, if Arsenal win, that would put them 4 points ahead of City. But that City aura is such that it feels like a defeat for them wouldn't be as bad as it would be for Arsenal.
That makes sense,
even though technically it would be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You can't convert that into points, though,
no,
crucially.
You can't. And actually, they've got a weird record this season. They've only, of the traditional big six, they've only beaten Man United. Sorry, Vish. And of the actual top five, they've not beaten anyone.
And Arsenal's record against the top six is the best of the three currently gunning for the title as well. Yeah,
there are some, and that's a really good point, because there are some kind of like measures here where you start to think to yourself, Arsenal are maturing in that way.
Yeah,
like whether we like it or not, the recent years of Arsenal's story has been great to watch, exciting team. Arteta doing a brilliant job, but ultimately just falling a bit short. And last season, that's what it was all about. Last season, looking back on it, I don't want to sound harsh, but last season it felt a bit like, okay, easy to be wise after the event, but they were probably always going to fall a bit short. Seeing what they've learned from that this season will be interesting. Yeah. And this game is like a vital component of that. And then if you take into account that Man City may not have Edison, may not have De Bruyne, may not have Stones, In fact, they probably won't have Stones.
Kyle Walker as well.
May not have Kyle Walker. So there's some big key players missing. Mm. And a Man City story has been like, really, if you think about it, it's been, it doesn't really matter if we're missing players because the system's so big and the system's so strong.
But this is a lot of players though, isn't it?
It's a lot of players and it's a big game. And you also are in the stage of the season now where it's not just winning. When you're playing against another team like as a rival, you're ensuring they don't win. Yes. Because otherwise you're just watching the telly to see what they do in their result and you go, oh God, they've won as well and that's that.
And you've got that added pressure of Liverpool playing first. So if Liverpool win and then this game is a draw, that's great news for them.
It's a good title race. It's a really good title race.
It really is fun
and I'm glad it's still alive at this point in the season. A lot being made in this match with the Rodri versus Rice battle in the centre of the park, which is possibly salivating at the idea. But it's just interesting because Man City... they were linked with Rice for a very, very long time. They clearly rate him. So, I mean, Pep's probably going to spend a bit of time thinking about what Rice is going to be up to, Vish.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's funny because, I think setting them against each other to frame this game is right, really, given how integral Rodri is to, well, has been to Man City. And also it's underpinned by his knack of scoring really important goals at this stage of the season as well. Or even just getting them out of trouble at the end of games. And Rice has been basically a reaction to what Luke was saying about Arsenal's campaign last time around, when it felt like, right, you're missing a couple of things here. You're basically missing a bit of presence.
Aye.
They go and get Declan Rice. We can probably even throw Kai Havertz into that mix as well.
It's also the physical profile as well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And just the way that Rice has taken to the task has been exceptional. But really, when you think about it, they probably won't come across each other all that much. And when they do, you're kind of waiting for the mother of all shoulder barges, really, because there's two such imposing figures. And I suppose maybe that's why Havertz and Rodri would be a better comparison, but a better matchup in terms of Havertz has shown himself to be quite important to Arsenal in big games as well. I think it's, obviously this season Arsenal have done well against Man City if we throw in the community chest as well. But you also look at that Liverpool game, and bear in mind, like, Arsenal restricted, Liverpool weren't very good, of course, when Arsenal won 3-1 at home. But Arsenal restricted them to one shot on target, as they did to Man City in the game that they won at home as well.
Their record's the best. I think their record the best in the Premier League at reducing other teams' chances. All the numbers underneath that underpin what they're doing, they're actually really solid.
I feel like, whereas last season you'd come into these games, certainly as a neutral, and look at it and think, well, Arsenal could potentially run roughshod over this team, but if they get stuck, then they will find it hard to get out of that funk. Whereas now, the conversation at the start of the season was, well, Arsenal look a bit slower. Maybe they're playing a bit more considered. And now we're at this part of the season where you're like, actually, this is just how Arsenal play now. They've really refined it to a way that doesn't quite seem like refinement on the eye, because it's not as eye-catching as it was last season, but it's just more effective.
It's the chance to have their treble, isn't it, really? Arsenal this season, because they've beaten them twice already.
So it's their treble. Didn't they draw against
penalty,
them? Fine, penalties. Yeah, okay. That would count, I guess.
The treble.
Yeah.
Arsenal's treble.
You get a t-shirt made up if they don't win the title. I'll tell you a player I'd like to mention is, based on what you just said, is the Jorginho factor. I think he's been really good.
Oh, he's been fantastic. He'll probably get a new contract. There's an option to extend for a year, but there's talk of him being off for 2 years because, That's likely what he would get elsewhere. But
what it looked like to me, Jim, when I went to go and see them play against Newcastle at home, was that, and I would say this is probably the case again when they beat Liverpool at home as well. He's just metronomic. Rodri's the best in that position in the field in the world, and he's a different type of player to Jorginho. But what Jorginho brings for Arsenal, and he definitely brought it against Liverpool, and he 100% brought it against Newcastle. Because of Jorginho, I know Newcastle haven't been as good this season, but we're only going back a month or so. Because of Jorginho, Arsenal basically choked Newcastle to death for 90 minutes. They couldn't get in the game. They couldn't get anywhere near him.
The metronome thing's interesting. He's also a grown-up in that midfield.
Right.
He's organising, he's telling people where to be, he's a sort of example to follow, and he's setting that example so regularly because he's on the ball so much and passing so much. And he moves around the pitch like Captain Tom at times, but it's still so
give
effective.
Him a spa!
Yeah.
Don't worry about the planning permission. Don't forget the planning permission. Am I doing, boss? I think this game is really important, symbolically. I think if Arsenal can win this game, they can probably show to themselves that beyond all doubt they've got what it takes to do the business. Because you've already mentioned it, Pete, that they would have tied up a treble of kind of wins over them, if you want to count a penalty shootout in a charity game. And that'll show them that there's nothing to be frightened of, and they'll also limit to Man City to win. Of course, the other thing is that they've got another rival for the title, haven't they, in Liverpool, and it's not going to be easy. If Arsenal win the title this season, I mean, incredible achievement given who they're up against. I mean, given where they've come from, they haven't won the league for 20 years. I mean, it's be amazing, really.
Well, maybe Ricey will be a little tired after his special celebration on Tuesday night after his 50th England cap.
They hanging out with James Corden's going to take it out of you emotionally. Corden, nothing else.
Apparently, James Corden organised the whole thing.
Of course,
which
he
did. I'm not into that.
Otherwise, no one would have fucking invite the guy, would they?
You got to put your money where your mouth is, I suppose, if you're Corden.
The only way that James Corden is going to be hanging around with other people who are cool, who actually want to be there with him, are American people who don't understand that shit.
Like Sean Spicer. Yeah. Remember that picture of him with Sean Spicer?
Oh, yeah.
The Trump spokesman back in the day. That was a wild period there. Yeah. And is if he organises the whole thing and says he'll pay for it.
Yeah, at the Chilton Firehouse. I've been there once, and they put in the urinals, they put ice.
Yeah, I've seen that in places before. I think it's to stop the splashback, isn't it?
I thought it was just to stop the smells, but not use kind of like dangerous chemicals. But you're making all of that kind of ice. That's going to cost
I have
you
seen
money,
that before.
It? Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that about?
I don't think ice is expensive, is it?
Well, it is to make, isn't it? You've got to freeze something.
What?
Make me some ice, big man.
The way Thames Water are going. It will be.
Yeah.
Absolutely will be. Yeah. That's a good bit of insight, though, Peter. Anything else from your time at Chilton Firehouse? Were you with James Corden?
Played table tennis with Dirk Gandhi. There we go.
That's pretty cool. Did you beat him?
No, he's a big man with a big wingspan.
Yeah.
A big triangle.
Were you kind of reluctant to have a photo taken next to him because he's obviously a famously very handsome man?
I think David Gandhi looks a little bit like, who's the man who got run over by that footballer recently? From EastEnders. Do you remember?
Dean Gaffney.
Dean Gaffney. I think he looks a bit like Dean Gaffney.
So if you squint...
And Dean will be happy with that.
Do you reckon
he will.
I'd be delighted. Do you think there's a scale then? And if you squint, they're on the same scale?
I think so, yeah.
Because they say there's only seven types of face, don't they?
Yeah. And, Emily from his work in the radio, she said that David Gandhi is what people think that women like. But it's if you know what I mean.
And she's sitting next to you, saying
she's
that.
She's sitting next to me, exactly.
It was Wesley Fofana.
Wesley Fofana in his kakana.
Catapulted into air after being run over by Chelsea star.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
That is the most spectacular thing a Chelsea player's done this season.
Pete, also, I feel like your mate told you that in a way that, you know, when you're feeling down, people say nice things to you. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, don't worry about it. Women really like a sense of humour.
I don't know if you know this, but there once the most devastating insult Pete's ever delivered to me. So we went and recorded at some studio, and it was overseen by a really handsome Swedish guy, fishing jumper, beard. He looked amazing. Mm. And we were sat there ready to go. And Pete just leant over to me and went, "See that guy there?" And I said, "Yeah." And he went, "That's what you think you look like."
Quite cruel, really.
It's amazing. It's absolutely spot on, right? Is that what you are with David Gandhi? Is that your thing? Or is it more, is that what you are like when you look at Dean Gaffney?
I don't think I look very much like either of them, to be honest. I look like, as discussed, an exiled Nazi. That's what I look like. That's my look, unfortunately.
If you started taking Wellman, though, maybe.
He's always on the
But I think on paper,
Wellman, isn't he?
On paper, people look at you, you've got the jawline, you've still got the hair,
right?
You've got the kind of cool look.
Still hanging in there.
And people on paper, if I described you to someone...
Turkey fake Saudi Newcastle shirt.
Yeah, I wrote down everything that you were. Mm. People would look at that, potential partners.
Yeah.
Potential suitors and go, yeah, okay. And
then Five foot eight, no thanks.
And then you come down the stairs at some kind of debutant's ball and like Edwardian in England and they go, nah.
I didn't lie to you. I didn't lie to you. None of that is a lie.
On paper, he's handsome.
Yeah. Before we move on to a testy one between Liverpool and Brighton, just got to touch on the fact that, we spoke about Fernando Torres playing in the Liverpool Legends match and he's massive and he's hench and he's completely immobile now. it turns out that Mesut Ozil is also hench now. Is this welcome, Jim?
No, it's frightening, isn't it? His arms are absolutely massive and I can't really sort of reckon it.
Because he's got quite bulging eyes. It looks like it hurts. You know what I mean? Do you not think?
Is it not part of you that just thinks, why did you not take your fitness that seriously when you're a player?
Isn't it a mobility thing, though? If you're a really hench player, then you actually lose a lot of what makes you good, especially in that role.
You lose a lot of agility. And also, like, Ozil was really fit. I always find it really interesting because, you know, like, because of his style, because he's quite, you know, lazy in terms of, like, how he looked, like, the aesthetic.
Languid.
I remember there was a period where, when he was playing with Alexis Sanchez, who was just, like, you know, a human muscle ball, Obviously, always sprinting down the left. Everyone's like, oh, you know, he gets through so much work. And Urza would always top the running numbers every game.
A tasty one Sunday from two, has to be said. Liverpool versus Brighton. Brighton are a bit of a bogey team for Liverpool. I could see them kind of getting something out of this. They've beaten them twice, drawn twice in their last four meetings. Liverpool have to maintain this head of steam, though, as we approach the final furlongs, Luke.
I
do still think that Brighton are going to get something out of this.
It's been quite weird how since the turn of the year Brighton have been so inconsistent though. Like it was almost a bit like the way that football dialogue goes around certain teams, like the narratives around certain teams, people just go, oh, they're actually a good team, so we don't really talk about them much. They'll probably finish about sixth, and everyone's thinking, "Oh, aren't they brilliant?" Mm. Since the turn of the year, they've not actually been that good.
Yeah, they haven't won two games in a row since September.
Right,
which tells you a lot.
The last two they have, if you count the Europa League game. They got knocked out
in the Premier League.
Fine. That makes perfect sense. Yeah,
it makes it quite exciting for the season ticket holder, though. You'd imagine. I'm never know what I'm going to get.
I was speaking
it's like a buffet.
I was speaking to Jules the other day, and she was having a little moan up about the fact that she covered the Brighton Roma ties, and she was obviously loving it. But she was like, "Oh yeah, I was really annoyed because we just stayed in the tie from the first leg, and it would have been a different story." And I was like, "Yeah, but Jules, Brighton playing Roma in Europe. I know you can't afford, the players can't afford to be like that, of course, but a bit of perspective is historically, they're doing absolutely amazing.
It's like Newcastle Europe run that I haven't experienced. You just sort of got, God, if we just played like we usually do. Yeah, but it's a different environment.
Totally.
But Brighton have been in serious danger several times of going completely out of business and have been like the bottom division and stuff. Newcastle haven't quite gone to those depths. Yet. Yeah.
I mean,
having said all that, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, when was the last time Brighton lost to Liverpool? It's a while ago now.
Yeah.
The game at the Amex earlier in the season was a really good game. Brighton came back quite late on with the old man, the old man of the England squad, Lewis Dunk, popping up with an equaliser late on. So
yeah,
you don't know what's going to happen here. It's another good game. It should be really interesting. And I guess Arsenal, Man City fans will be watching this one keenly because they'll want Brighton to do them a favour. Liverpool got ahead of steam though now, despite the fact they've got a lot of players missing.
Well, Brighton feel a bit flaky to get something here for me for this one.
Although, like, you know, with the news that Xabi Alonso is no longer on Liverpool's long or short list to replace Klopp, Roberto De Zerbe is one of the managers who's been spoken about for that role initially as a bit of an outside shot when it seemed like Alonso was going to be paraded through.
So do you think he'll tap the Anfield sign as he comes out?
Oh, that'd be a great
you feel like they've lost a head of steam, but because they're being pulled in different directions with Europe, there's a bit of distraction, and this after an international break feels like a real honing of focus towards Anfield for everyone involved, really. So I don't know, maybe something comes out of it.
Would you put a link between the fact that the Zerbe's now got to the point where he's being linked with everyone all the time and Brighton's kind of weird form?
I don't know, actually, because he kind of, generally those kind of stories might come out through like an agent being a bit nefarious, but it feels like he's being linked to jobs which are broadly open. Mm. So, you know, obviously there's question marks over Ten Hag, and I've seen a couple of times he's been mentioned there, but only because the conversation's initially being had about Ten Hag. Klopp's obviously already said he was going to leave. I think it's more that when you get to when he's like the standout name in an article or something like that, that you can think, right, it's okay, someone, he's doing his bidding behind the scenes here because he feels like he's,
but ultimately he is going
to the end of the road.
He is going to move on at some point, isn't he?
And I think everyone was, I mean, that's basically Brighton's model, where whether it's a player or a manager, do really well with certain people and then get them to use it as a platform to go elsewhere.
But you obviously don't. So that's the sort of conversation you have with the manager coming in rather than going out, because you don't make any money really for a manager leaving.
No, sure.
You get a bit of a buyout, but it's not astronomical.
Was it Potter at Chelsea? A massive amount of money though. It's happening. You're absolutely right traditionally, but it's happening more and more now.
But I think it's more like you get the investment from that manager, don't you? Mm. Like, right, throw yourself into this and see what, we've already shown you what can happen to people who do well here.
In the words of Pidgeon Duncan, Brighton is not a stepping stone. But it's an interesting situation with Xabi Alonso, obviously staying at Leverkusen this summer. Is the Liverpool job just too early for a lot of managers who may be in the frame or be interested in it anyway?
So one of the interesting things I've seen overnight about from Liverpool fans about the Xabi Alonso stuff. So obviously the sentiment seems to be that he wants to stay at Leverkusen and... You know, someone posited quite smartly, I can't remember who, sorry, that you'd probably want to be the person after the one who replaces Klopp.
Yeah, 100%.
Much in the same way that...
You don't want to be David Moyes or Emery.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're spot on with both two examples from United post-Ferguson and Arsenal post-Wenger. So, yeah, I don't know. I suppose you've really got to want it because it's a bigger job than just being the manager of Liverpool, isn't it? Mm.
And I think with him as well, him specifically, it comes a whole load of expectation around. Yeah. Like, he is a legendary player there.
Sexy.
He's very, very sexy as well. His record at Leverkusen is just extraordinary. Like, it's a complete outlier, like, completely unexpected. If you had said, like, oh, they will drive Bayern Munich really hard and they'll perhaps miss out on winning the title, the fact is he would still be being linked with Liverpool because that would be an extraordinary achievement. Doing what they're doing, the records they're doing, the numbers they're posting is unbelievable. And I actually don't know if it is cut and dried that he is going to stay, because it just reminds me of, it reminds me a bit of when Andre Villas-Boas was being linked with a move to the Premier League and he kept saying he wanted to stay. And in fact, all the journalists were briefing he was going to stay. I think Brassel at the time had spoken to him directly and he said he was going to stay to Brassel. And then he changed his mind because the money on offer and the chance was massive. And what got the better of him at the time, from what I remember, is that he was like, well, I don't know if his chance is going to come along again. And that can be the overriding factor. So I wouldn't write it off anyway right now. But also... what you're saying, Vish, is absolutely spot on. The pressure will be massive. And I think the difference between an Alonso character and a Villas-Boas character is that Alonso's got an amazing playing career behind him where he's gone to the very top of the game. He clearly has a really solid plan about what he wants to do. And I think the Villas-Boas stuff was even more unexpected given the fact that no one even really knew who he was. Like, Alonso's a big character in the game and I don't think he's ever going to be short of offers. So it's perhaps a little bit different.
I think this sort of conversation at this point of the season with Leverkusen so active in so many competitions still is really helpful, though, isn't it?
So yeah. So he has to kind of do something to stopwatch this.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Just
yeah.
Whatever season, actually happens.
Either way, why must people lie to Andy?
Yeah.
Why
did Villas-Boas? I know. He's a nice guy, Andy. Disappointing.
He lies to us all the time. What are you talking about?
He does. Makes up rumours.
Yeah. Right, coming up in the second half, Hansi mascots and broken British infrastructure.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you look at the game overall, probably took us 15, 20 minutes at least to get into the game or to get to grips with Millwall and their shape and what they've done. But then probably in there, the game was probably, the goal was probably against the run of play. Yeah. It was our best spell. We just hit the foot of the post and then we have the disappointment of the goal. And that's part of it. You know, we're still brand new.
There's Paul Cook doing three different voices in the same interview. Yeah.
The first two, so if you imagine like him using his hands to talk to one another.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Do you remember when that man was interviewed about crocodile attacks or something? Well, he was talking about, it was an Australian politician.
Oh, there's a dog attack. Yeah.
Bob Catter, and it was Australian.
Bob Catter. He was basically being asked about, gay marriage, and he said, let a thousand blossoms bloom, but I ain't going to be waiting one more second when these people die from alligator attacks. He started in such a lovely way.
Incredible change. So it's like his whole personality changes, isn't it? Like, you say. Paul Cook sounds like he's turning into smoke there. It's phenomenal.
you don't and get alligators in Australia, though, so you've embarrassed yourself.
No, I really cannot track those guys. Alligators. Why do they alligators live over in Florida yeah. and the crocodiles live in...
But I think it's a bit... I don't think anyone knows the difference.
No. I think they just say it's like the African Indian elephants, isn't it? It's like,
yeah. African elephants have got obviously far bigger ears.
Yeah. But apparently they're shaped like Africa, aren't they? Isn't that...
The air is shaped like Africa, which is apparently very helpful. But, you know, people say the difference between an alligator and a crocodile, you can tell the difference because one of them you'll see later and the other one you'll see in a while.
Jesus.
Oh, Christmas. Nice. I like that.
That's good.
That's a lovely little...
Oh,
have you never heard that before?
Never heard that before.
Peter lives in different circles to us. Yeah.
I've really enjoyed Jesus Christmas as an expert. Yeah.
Of all the days of blasphemy, today's probably not it, is it?
Wasn't that a bad guy in one of the Bond movies?
Maybe, yeah.
Mr...
Bond. James Bond.
It's someone clicking a mouse. It's James Bond on AOL Online. You've got mail.
I think that's...
Do you expect me to talk?
No.
I think that's from the PC version of GoldenEye.
Clicking away. We've got an email from Joseph Colomy. Jim, do you want to take this one, mate?
Sure.
I've been yapping on for ages.
Why not? Joseph says, regarding the chat on Monday's show about Clarence the Dragon of Northampton, the question was posed whether there were plush mascots with human hands. I don't know if there are in the old association football, but I'd like to bring you into the world of American college gridiron football. There are some great and sometimes terrifying examples. My personal favourite is Big Red, the mascot for Western Kentucky University, who is a big red anthropomorphic blob, which has gloved but decidedly human hands and also Nike-shod feet. It also famously eats things, such as balls of various sports, cheerleaders' pom-poms, puppies, and even fans as a gag. A photo of it eating my head at a WKU football game in 2021 is attached. Another mascot watches on, unfazed by the horrors it is witnessing. Perhaps a gaping maw is the next evolution for football mascot sideline shithousery.
Mm. It is a truly baffling and broadly terrifying mascot.
Yeah.
I was reading up about it, and Western Kentucky University's like branding guide for Big Red. They've got a branding guide for it, for them, because apparently Big Red must always be amorphous, ambiguous, asexual, and always lovable representative of the school's athletics. Big Red is neither male or female.
Right,
interesting.
That's a mascot for our times.
There's a couple from Japan. I think you've sort of featured them on little bits and bobs you've done, Jim. But there's a pink penguin, which is the mascot for a pharmaceutical company, Ichijuku Pharmaceuticals. It's not only a penguin, but also an enema.
Right.
Oh my days.
And there's quite a good one I think I've seen at the football that is sponsored by a Sanpuku real estate company, and it's called Midori Kun. Kun meaning little boy. It has the body of a wrestler, but the face of a floor plan. It's so wonderfully shit looking.
That's amazing.
Do you remember the one we found where it was like a mascot for a new golf course that was opening in Japan, and it was like a kind of weird animal, but its head was long and flat, and
right.
on top of its head had like a mini playable golf course.
Wow.
Oh, I like it.
On top of its head, yeah.
What would the Football Ramble mascot look like? That's the question, isn't it?
Get cracking Photoshop.
We'd each sort of bring something to the party. Marcus, it would be Pitbull. It'd be based on the body of Pitbull. And then, Luke, what would you add to
Marcus's
the mascot?
Voice.
Right.
He'd have to speak in Marcus's voice, I think. Little voice box in there for the character. Yeah. And then you obviously have to take in different parts of different people.
You like American stuff, so it'd be a big corn dog.
You'd have to average it out, wouldn't it? So
where is the corn dog?
Corn dog, vicious red wine.
Red stained teeth, yeah.
We've got some glasses wear, haven't we? So
specs. Yeah.
A lot of that. Maybe two pairs of glasses, probably.
Good hairline. We've all got good hairline.
Yeah, good hair. Maybe it's a combination of all of the hair. Yeah. That'd better be quite something.
Stuffed. Marcus's haircut, then.
Well,
so the mascot's also going to be 5'7".
Yeah.
That's the average. Yeah. We're dragging you down, you guys.
Disappointing for me and Jim and for Andy. Yeah. Andy's even taller than me.
Maybe one like normal size leg, and maybe one of
little lads. Just don't give it a butt femur. Right. Brentford versus Man United. What a horrible image.
If Man United players got femurs, would that explain what's been going on?
They haven't got feelings, I'll tell you what. The way that some members of the press talk about them. Brentford versus Man United Saturday at 8 p.m. The last train from London to Manchester on Saturday leaves 2 minutes after kickoff.
But that's not technically true.
Oh, piss off,
Jim.
There
is a train that leaves from Euston at about 9:10. there's two changes and it takes 12 hours.
When you're on trainline.com, you're like, oh, there is one. No, there isn't. Yeah. It's just what gets you there 12 hours later.
To everyone listening to this show that's younger than me, I'm 43, right? I promise
the trains
you now,
used to work.
I promise you now, promise you. This country has never been worse.
It's going to be a proper country.
I am including the Second World War in that.
And we've helped.
Yeah.
We've helped it get worse.
It's absolutely astonishing how many times you come into contact with shit that doesn't work just by leaving the house.
Mm.
Whether it's water or potholes or public transport or money.
Or men shouting at you in the street.
Anything.
Bins.
Oi,
Mua.
No, I'm doing the shouting.
Oh, you're doing the shouting. Yeah.
This used to be better.
Yeah.
Yes, sure.
So are you saying the Man United players won't better get home?
Yeah, well, I doubt they'll go by train, but I just worry that it's kind of, it's not great for fans, and it never has been great for fans, this situation.
All you can do is laugh, though, because the fans have the piss taken out of them all the time, we've fell up a saying it. Like, it's Saturday and Easter, and they're not going to put a train on for people. The thing about it is that I understand that train companies will say, actually, look at the statistics. Hardly anyone travels compared to commuting days on Easter weekend. Mm. We've got to do it sometime, blah, blah, blah. It's just there's no thought gone into it. Mm. It's like the idea where, I don't want to get too nerdy about it, but where I live at the moment, they're talking about doing like low traffic neighbourhoods and stuff like that.
Right.
And they go, that's a good idea. We'll do low traffic neighbourhoods. But what happens is they just take one part of it. They don't go, oh, this is how it's going to affect everything else.
Yeah.
A low traffic neighbourhood will work if the public transport is at a certain standard. But it fucking isn't.
What we need to do is all move to a desert wonderland where we can just plan our cities. And fund Newcastle United. God, I think that's the way
shirt
to do it.
Is talking through you.
but
I told you it's a copy. My neighbour bought it for me from Turkey.
Here's the thing, right? If you're a season ticket holder at Man United and you go to away games, right? Mm. You have to pay to go to the away game. Of course, you have to pay extra because you don't get the ticket because you're a home season ticket holder. However many people are going to go to Brentford, I don't know how many will be. Let's just say it's 2,000.
Less than they're planning, I imagine.
let's say it's 2,000, right? Just for the sake of argument, right? That's what? 15 coaches.
Mm.
You may not. I can't afford to put 15 coaches on for their fans. You're being serious.
Burn them.
Put
get
them
involved,
on.
Mate.
Do yourself a favour. It'll give you a better chance of getting a result as well. There's no thoughtfulness. There's no kind of planning or chatting between any of these big infrastructure organisations to actually make this happen.
Mm.
Because ultimately, the calculation is made and goes, well, you know what? Ultimately, fans are fucking mugs and they'll go anyway. So what's the point? They just don't do anything about it. It's really frustrating because the fans are always the bottom of the pile every single time. It's shit.
Well, the match going fans as well, isn't it? Because if certain forces had their way, they would just convert the stadiums into like massive lounges.
Yeah.
Where you could watch football and have some foie gras.
They also talk about blackouts and all that kind of stuff. Oh, you've got to protect this, you've got to protect that. Well, you don't do anything else to protect them.
No.
Mm. Yeah, and everyone's watching on the street. The biggest argument against the 3 p.m. blackout is that it protects lower league fans and non-league fans, clubs, and it works fine. Well, you don't know that because you're not dealing with the whole picture because you don't know how many people are streaming the games anyway. Mm. I suspect it's a lot. You probably suspect it's more than I suspect.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Because people are going to get a stream anyway, won't they?
There's a generation of people who wouldn't even flirt with it about 2 years ago, very much into that kind of space, I would say.
Get it on X now. It's just one of the many improvements. That's one of the few things that has
just people
better,
are just
actually
streaming. Remember that guy? I talk about him a lot because I think about how wonderful he is. This young lad who was playing, he basically streamed an entire UFC main event, but he just sort of streamed him in shot with an Xbox controller, pretending it was a video game.
Mm.
And he never got caught. He managed to stream the whole UFC. speaking of rule breakers, Ivan Toney is fresh off the back of his first England goal. Has this week been a big kind of reputation enhancer for this man, Lukey?
We talked about this on yesterday's show. So those of you who've listened to yesterday's show, I apologise if I'm going to briefly just repeat what I said then. Like what Toney's performance for England taught me, reminded me, I guess, is that the way he was able to go and win a penalty and take the penalty against Belgium, it was just such a Harry Kane impression. Mm. And I think if you are going to make an argument for Ivan Toney against Oliver Watkins, why do I keep calling him Oliver Watkins? Ollie Watkins,
Watkins.
For England, is just that Toney's a far more similar player to Kane than Watkins is. Watkins had a better season. Watkins is arguably a better player, but Toney's more similar to Kane, which might work in his favour. And I think he needs to be looking at this now, given the season that he's had, as a massive audition here.
Mm.
I wouldn't be surprised if Southgate's at this game. It's in London. Toney's there.
Yeah.
They're playing Man United. I wouldn't be surprised if he's there. Does that make a difference these days? Maybe. But if he goes and scores a hat-trick against Man United, that's massive. And given that not that long ago, there was a game at this stadium where Brentford, what, 4-0 up at half time against Man United, went on to win the game 4-0. I don't think anything happened.
It was this fixture last season.
Fine.
Yeah.
It's every chance, isn't there?
Yeah.
Because
you
never know what. This is, Man United are impossible to cover on this show because you never know what you're going to get.
And the interesting thing about this fixture as well is obviously Brentford are not in a great spot at the moment. They've had a difficult run of games.
Far worse season than last season, definitely.
Very, very poor compared to last season. They've lost a lot recently, but they've had City, Liverpool, and Arsenal in there. The thing is, the last game they had, they lost to Burnley. Now, I know they were a man down from like fairly early on in the game, but it's like losing to Burnley in this season is a disaster. So, are Brentford maybe a little bit of a wounded animal? Quite possibly sort of a bad time to face them in some regard as well.
I don't know. Well, the Tony factor is quite interesting. And there's also, Brian Mbeumo coming back to, I think he's probably about to make his first start of the new year. Like, obviously, we've seen how integral he is to everything they do going forward, even the bit at the start of that Tony ban when him and Wissa were dovetailing really well and basically did their best to carry him through that period. I'd also say, I'd echo what Luke said about United being so hit and miss, because there've been various situations or moments during the season where they've taken a step forward and been knocked back.
Yeah.
So they beat Chelsea and then they lost 3-0 at home to Bournemouth. They beat Villa, big win that. Then they lost. They go to Nottingham Forest and lose. And then they obviously had a decent period in February where they win, into February, where they win 5 in a row. They lose to Fulham. There's every chance that, after the high of that Liverpool game, they just found wanting a bit. The team dynamic is quite interesting, though, because, Mason Mount's back fit. And he's obviously had a really tough start to his United career, but
at least we know who's going to be the third man in England's midfield, though.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it just came on for 1 minute for United and Southgate will call him up.
Southgate just leaves. Yeah. Got to get a boss. Got to get a boss. Yeah.
But even, it's Real replacement! It's Real replacement!
But, Harry Maguire came out of the international break with a bit of an issue, so you're not sure about him. Like Casemiro's got a bit of a question mark around him. Diallo is obviously suspended from being sent off against Liverpool. And so, we're in a, it's just quite an interesting time. And it'd be interesting to see as well how much of that good feeling carries over, because the conversation completely flipped on Ten Hag.
Mm.
Certainly what I've heard and read over the last week or so, in terms of, if he does get the FA Cup, if he does, get Champions League football, absolutely no reason to get rid of him, in part because a couple of the names have been thrown out to replace him, such as Southgate, and Gary O'Neill.
They're not going to get Champions League, though, are they?
No, it's very unlikely. But that's the conversation.
Don't we all qualify?
It's gone from being really unlikely to now people thinking, well, actually, if he does manage to get it, then that's a good reason to keep him on. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a game that Brentford turn up, really, because they haven't been turning up for the last couple of months, and do a number on a United side who, as mentioned, have shown themselves to be fallible after, positive moments.
Mm. Well, Rashford obviously didn't have a great international break. Before the break, Wayne Rooney was asked if he has any sympathy for the man and said, not much, to be honest. He's in a privileged position where he's playing for Man United. Now, Wayne Rooney is out of work at the moment, isn't he? So, like, does this, if you're a chairman looking to enhance your team, are you going to bring him on when he's talking like a 70s good footballing man?
I love Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, he's also thinking about being a boxer, though, isn't he? So maybe this is for boxing promoters.
Right. And okay,
the reason I think the whole conversation they were having about Rashford was actually quite well intentioned, and he kind of put himself in Rashford's shoes in terms of, he says he feels that sometimes Rashford tries to do too much, and he recognises that as something that he used to do when he played at United.
Yeah.
And there's also, he was saying that it probably best for Rashford if he leaves. And that's something that, I subscribe to as well, because I'd be devastated if Rashford leaves. But at the same time, his development has been stunted at United because of Manchester United.
Yeah.
And obviously, we don't necessarily know we don't know the scale of whatever off-field issues or distractions there are for Rashford. But I suppose the privilege comes from, you are, regardless of whether you're playing well or badly, you're one of Manchester United's most important players. And with that comes a level of grace to a point where, you have to play because we know what you can do at your very best. And I suppose the privilege he's talking about is not necessarily like he gets paid X and, he's living people's dreams. I think it's more that,
because Rooney wouldn't care about that anyway.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Right. I totally agree. That's a much more articulate way of saying
it's just kind of just decision making at the end of the day.
Yeah, ultimately, yeah. Mm. But it's, you know, like, I suppose, you know, you mentioned the international break there, and I suppose we could extend this to all players, really. There's a lot up for grabs, even beyond, like, you know, where teams finish in these final, like, 9-10 games, depending on, you know, how many matches teams have left. Because, look, for individuals, like, even someone like Ben White, I find it fascinating, like, the idea that you're going into this Euros with almost a little bit of a line change. Rashford had been a shoo-in to an England squad for a major tournament because he's Marcus Rashford. And now you're like, well, mate, Jarrod Bowen's there pulling up trees now. Yeah. You've got all kinds of players coming out.
Phil Foden on the left. Or
yeah, all Foden. Like, there's so many other options now. It's really interesting.
Mm. Well, just before we go to our final match, Forest Crystal Palace, Man United, obviously, you mentioned maybe talking to Gary O'Neill over a potential new role in the coaching setup. Whether that means he's going to take take the manager's position or not.
It seems
very bizarre.
You know what? I'd be interested in your thoughts on this, Fish, because the story is that they're talking about bringing Gary O'Neill into the coaching staff, and the implication is very much that he wouldn't be the manager; he'd just be part of the setup.
He's currently Premier League manager,
doing really well.
Yeah. There's also the sort of the links to Gareth Southgate, which seems like a really strange choice, and it makes it seem like Ineos aren't that serious, and they don't really know what they're doing, despite all the positive noises they've made. When you look at them going forward, does it feel like it's potentially a sort of a bright new dawn, or is it more of the same nonsense?
Structurally, a bright new dawn, yeah. Footballing-wise, I've mentioned it before, they are essentially bringing management consultancy to football. Mm. And I suppose we've got to be, or certainly I have to be a bit careful about this, because it's easy for, when talking about football, to dismiss like, you know, the way, for example, companies go about their business and things like that, and almost kind of like rest on the, yeah, but football's different, football's carnal, football's ours, this kind of thing. But they're basically coming in and on the football side thinking, let's streamline it to a point. Yeah. Let's try and do things differently. Let's try and get thinkers in from different areas. And yeah, it is massively disrespectful.
Stick it on the blockchain.
Massively disrespectful to Gary O'Neill, to Wolves as well. Mm. I think but you know, even in the way that they were going after Southgate, you feel like they're bringing him as a head of ethics, the way they're talking about what he's done.
Yeah.
And what they want from him.
And the concern for me would be that every time I see one of these stories come out, whether it's been leaked or back briefed or whatever, is that always the names that appear alongside it are Jim Ratcliffe and Dave Brailsford.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like they're being, as far as I know, I might be wrong, but it's not as though it's coming from like a really well-seasoned like director of football, like an Edu or something.
Yeah.
But, and that gives the impression, perhaps wrongly, that they're just mucking about. Because the list that was in that story you just mentioned, the names in that story, O'Neill, Southgate, Thomas Frank, Roberto De Zerbi, it just feels like you've just looked down the Premier League table and gone, okay, fans seem to be pretty happy with them. So
value picks, yeah.
And also with the O'Neill thing was quickly denied. So it's like they're testing the water and going, no, we didn't say that. So like they don't know what they're just canvassing opinion in a sort of perhaps.
Gary O'Neill should never take that. He should never go anywhere near that. It's a poor move. It's a really, really poor move for him given how well he's doing.
I think
he'll just get lost. He'll get lost in the mix.
Yeah. But also it's just like, it's just not what someone. I'm quite interested for them to ask him, actually, like, truth be told, to ask him to see what the reaction would be, because Gary Neal must be like, is this a wind-up? Like, do you want me to clean the boots as well?
I very much enjoyed somebody pointing out on Twitter that canonically Gary Neal exists in the Office US universe, because there's a scene where Idris Elba, taken over from Michael Scott after he goes to do his own paper company.
Spoilers.
Robert Califani's the best boss, though, it has to be said. The whole office pretends that they all like soccer because Idris Elba likes soccer.
Yeah.
And as one of the screensavers, Andy's got his screensaver set as, I think it's a Man United versus Middlesbrough match.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Gary O'Neill is in the US office, which I think is lovely.
In the wall, isn't he?
It's good stuff.
He's a massive, massive football figure. And it's pleased you guys are finally waking up to it.
Yeah, exactly.
No news to anyone on the South Coast, mate.
Hey,
he's one of the best gags in the whole show.
100%. 100%.
Hey, Luke, do you know where I'd like to disrespect a wolf? Forest, Nottingham Forest versus Crystal Palace, Saturday from 3. Forest's first game since the four-point deduction at that, which has left them in the relegation zone. They've decided to appeal against the deduction this week. I mean, you would, wouldn't you? But I imagine the way Nottingham Forest will do it is they'll get 50 lawyers, which will take them back over the PFF.
Each more aggressive than the last.
Each more expensive than the last. And they won't be talking to each other. It'll be a real mess. But it is getting slightly tight for that team, isn't it? Santo calling their game, their last game against Luton before the deduction, a bit of a final.
There's a lot of chaos that's followed Nottingham Forest this season, like a huge amount of chaos, whether it be, you know, I mean, the rap sheet's pretty fucking good, let's be honest, for us. Mark Clattenburg hired him, haven't they?
Yeah.
Because they got a lot of bad refereeing decisions. Yeah. No one really knows what Mark Clattenburg's doing.
He can't believe his luck.
He came out and spoke on behalf of Nottingham Forest the other day, and then in the comments was saying that he's actually not spoken to the referee or anything like that because that's not his job. What is your job then? They were then fined $75,000, Forest, after Stephen Reid called Paul Tierney a cunt 3 times.
Like Beetlejuice.
The Candyman appeared.
Paul Tierney appears.
James Corden appears.
Just generally very, very chaotic.
The Stephen Reid thing is amazing. So Paul Tierney's quotes from that. Obviously, the altercation started on the pitch after the game. And Tierney said, he asked me about a decision and I said to him that I will speak to him inside and not outside on the field of play. He then continued to question me and I repeated that I would speak to him inside. He then said, it's the same every week, you cunt. I love that he couldn't hold it in. Just take it inside.
Why? Just do it outside. You're standing there, aren't you? What else are you doing?
You're going to cost yourself $75,000.
That cost him $75,000.
I was trying to. Was it 75?
$75,000. Yeah.
Right. Okay. I was trying to work out how that goes three ways.
C word.
Yeah, it's just $25,000. C-word, right?
$25,000. Yeah. The $25,000 word.
You should have a multiplier, I think.
Oh, well, you should get more if you keep doing it. Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
He was found guilty of it on the balance of probabilities, apparently.
Basically.
That's what I said. That's what I said in the referee's report.
That's so good.
That's the last thing you want against you.
I don't know if they'll appeal that as well, but like you said, they're appealing the points deduction. I mean, the points deduction appeal, I understand why they're doing it. We really are in a situation where I think Marcus was saying a few weeks ago now that if they appeal, I think the actual decision will be made like a few days before the end of the season or something. It's just crazy how this is all coming into play. But they've got to do something, right? They didn't do points deductions for a while and it didn't seem to work. And the financial penalty thing is problematic for obvious reasons. So this is how it's got to be before people fall into line.
Yeah.
We could see Leicester coming into the Premier League next season with a deduction as well, which is like a wild situation to be in. So look, that's how it goes.
Yeah, and last time out, this match gave us a thrilling goalless draw, and I think this will probably happen again, to be honest. Both teams looking pretty listless.
There's a situation with Forest, isn't there? Not just given the points deduction, but given that they've been on such a poor run of form at a key time, where you feel like possibly not the Brighton game, although they only narrowly lost that one, but the Luton game, this Palace game, Forest at home after that, then I think they play Wolves after they play Spurs.
Yeah.
It's really like take a shit or get off the pot time. Because, I mean, it could all be done by the time Burnley's on the final day and they've still got to play Chelsea and Man City. Mm. So, I mean, they've got an Everton game away as well. So, it really is the time to make a move because that Luton game was kind of a real big missed opportunity. I understand why the Liverpool thing rankles in context. I mean, obviously, but they need to start making a move now and we don't really know what to make of Palace at the moment because...
They're fresh from their holidays in Marbella.
Who, Palace?
Yeah, they took some warm weather training in Marbella, which is a lovely, lovely touch.
Lovely spot.
Place that used to produce 75% of Spain's iron, Jim.
Okay. Yeah. Nice to know.
Yeah. Wow.
That's probably why he went there, is it?
Smelting.
Research.
Big smelting fan, is Glasner.
Well, the Palace aren't going to get relegated, right? And they've got a new manager in situ. So, I mean, this is a really big opportunity for Forest, it is.
Indeed. All right, Lukey, can we have the Ramble-Acker with Betfair, please?
It is time indeed for the Ramble-Acker with Betfair. The football season is approaching its exciting conclusion with Betfair. And if you're looking to get involved in all the action, then look no further because Betfair have made it faster and easier to build your acker this football season. And you can celebrate this weekend with a completely free acker or bet builder on the football. So today, we're building an acker of 4 match odds, 90 bets from across the Premier League. Peter, I think you're up first because Marcus isn't here today. And I think your shirt tells us what you're going to do.
Yes, I'm going to go for Newcastle to win this one against West Ham.
The Pardew Derby.
The Pardew Derby, don't say that.
Pardew's always at Fulham. He must live near there. He's always at Fulham. Every time I go to Fulham, he's in the cottage.
It's his vibe.
So I reckon he'd be up at Newcastle. Not with the way the trains are either.
No, true.
Bloody hell. So Newcastle beat West Ham. You've got 9 out of 16 credits. Such a pretty good record, Pete. So we'll keep an eye out for that one. Jim.
I've gone for Aston Villa to beat Wolves. It's obviously a hotly contested game. And, you know, Villa sort of need to pick themselves up a little bit and just, you know, lay down a bit of a marker for the rest of the season. So, yeah, I'm going to go for them to beat lovely Gag O'Neill's Wolves.
Nice. Vish.
I'm going for a draw between Bournemouth and Everton. I think they're quite evenly matched sides, and Everton aren't winning many games at the moment, but feel like Bournemouth have decent firepower and Everton need the result. And yeah, I still think it'll be a draw.
My one is Manchester City v Arsenal. With many apologies to Jim and people who like him, I've gone for Man City to beat Arsenal at the Etihad. So in summary, Newcastle to beat West Ham, Aston Villa to beat Wolves, Bournemouth and Everton to draw, Manchester City to beat Arsenal. A £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £131.52. And if we win, all that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK. Plus, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, Betfair will donate £10 to Prostate Cancer UK in conjunction with us here at the Football Ramble. We've raised £710 already this season. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on the Match Odds 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by some stoppage time drama will not be affected. And that's the same for our Rambalaka every week. Exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook. T's and C's apply. 18 plus only. For more information on responsible gambling, head to begamblerware.org.
Jack.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, a what? It's a simple game. A category's Jack, for crying out loud. Lucky Moo, you feeling good about this one?
How many weeks champion am I now?
Oh, you are. Vish made his return last week. Jim got another win. He's got another shot at the lineal belt today, but
against
I don't
me.
Know
I think
where.
I'm like six.
You should know.
I think I'm like 6 weeks in.
Right.
So, I mean, you've got to take some confidence from that.
Yeah. Just off the top of your head, about 6 weeks.
The lion doesn't concern itself with the opinions of people. Whether they're wearing fleeces or not. Hey, whether they brought their own fleeces
or not.
You're
wearing a fleece.
I brought my work tools in.
I've
brought a hammer.
Oh, it's
so
a reign of terror.
Yeah?
It's a reign of
terror. You can't use it like a gavel because you will break the table.
Yeah, it's a massive hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Then.
So do I get to go first as lineal champion?
Yeah, you do.
Oh,
and
good.
So you're to my left, and I'm a very simple man with simple tastes.
I agree with that.
All right, then. Kicking things off with the first round. Men's players who have played for both Arsenal and Manchester City. There are 16 answers.
Well, just give Jim the fucking point now.
Men's players who have played for both Arsenal and Man City. Plays Lukey Moore.
Gabriel Jesus.
Alexandra Zinchenko.
Emmanuel Adebayor.
Good one.
I like it. Ooh.
Patrick Vieira.
That's lovely. Gael Clichy.
Bakary Sagna.
Bastard, I was going to go that. Gosh, getting desperate now.
Is it a little bit?
Is it ever? In the history of the clubs? Okay. Mm. Niall Quinn.
I like it.
Very good.
Good stuff.
Sami Nasri.
That's a very good guess. Yeah.
Carlo Touré.
Mm. Correct.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Nine down. That's really good.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final. The headline has been written.
Got nothing.
You know what, Lukey? I should let you do just for the Niall Quinn, but I can't. I'm so sorry. Vish?
Paul Dickov.
Oh, very good. That's excellent.
That's good too.
Silvinho.
Correct. We got through.
Ooh.
Some thin tea here. You've got five left.
I'm not sure there should be Arsenal themed ones when Jim's here. I think it's a little bit full on.
Stuart Taylor.
That was very long.
Sorry?
That was very long. He had a long time to think of that, is all I'm saying.
Doesn't matter, Jimmy's there.
Very good guess.
Jim Fish Campbell. Excellent.
Nicholas Anelka.
That's
you
very
get two
good.
For that. There we go. Vish.
Meow.
Meow. Incorrect.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final.
David Seaman?
Oh, yes. Good. I like it. I like to see it.
We already had David Seaman.
Yeah.
All right.
No, we haven't.
Richard Wright.
Ah! What? Not on the list.
Wait, give me
not
the hammer. The
give me the hammer. No, it's first round.
Oh, he didn't play. He must not play the game.
No. He's not played a game, but he was there for a little while.
Outrageous.
Didn't make it clear that he had to play a game, to be fair.
No,
but
you could have had Rocky Rawcastle and Eddie McGoldrick and Neil Heaney as well.
Neil Heaney.
Eddie McGoldrick. Jeez, yeah. I'm not
on my list.
That. Was he?
Eddie MC is written right
really?
There.
Really?
Wow.
Richard
what is Wright
that? Equals MC squared, you've written there. I very much like
pretty
that
annoying.
You just do initialisms rather than the full names, less that anyone
quicker,
sees
it?
You.
Yeah. It's quicker.
Nice. All right.
That's well annoying.
Round two, kick things off with you, Vish.
Big chance for you now, Vish. You've
big,
got,
you could
a point.
Get this yeah, one. Yeah, you could bag this one. Teams that England's men have faced at the European Championships finals. When did we start calling like tournaments finals?
No,
it's quite recent, isn't it?
Yeah.
Teams that England's men have faced at the European Championships finals.
Germany.
Yep.
Spain.
Scotland.
Netherlands.
Netherlands.
Wales.
Good. Switzerland.
Denmark.
Italy.
Why'd you bring that up?
Yeah. Soviet Union.
Nice.
Sweden.
France.
Russia.
Ooh, I like it.
Portugal.
Good one.
Ukraine.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Republic of Ireland.
We did. We did.
Romania.
Correct.
Jesus, Vish, that's very good.
Yeah. Belgium.
Certainly did.
God. I want to say Northern Ireland.
Ah, oh, unlucky Luke. It
Damn.
Was brave. It was a brave move, I think. Fish, let's have one from you.
Croatia.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Oh, really? Okay. Are there even that many countries in Europe left?
Five left.
Five left. Okay.
It's Torres.
Poland.
Oh,
Vish.
Vishy. Let me find
he
me
takes
button.
The title.
Let me find me
he
button.
He takes the title, Vish. Well played. Very good.
And in keeping with this, this will be the last Friday show I do for the rest of the season.
You could have had Czech Republic, you could have had Germany, you could have had Iceland, you could have had Slovakia.
Yeah, Germany.
And
Germany.
You could have had, we hardly knew you, Yugoslavia. So there you go.
Czech Republic was what I was making the hands
yeah.
at.
Mm. Yeah.
All right, then. Well done.
Well
I
done,
forgot
Vish.
I was hosting for a second. As soon as I get a hammer in my hand, I just forget.
Yeah.
The red mist descends and, yeah.
Do I get the hammer?
Yeah, you can have the hammer.
Yes!
You can have the little...
Hammer of Justice.
Hammer of Justice.
Don't need a laptop anymore.
Hammer your own laptop.
Shouldn't run your laptop out. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Oh, it's a good network. Join Luke, Vish and Jim tomorrow for the mailbag, where they're answering all of your disgusting questions. You can follow us on X, you can follow us on TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. Follow us on Spotify. Vish, can you smash open the door to the weekend with the big hammer? Lovely. Put a sound effect in there, Finn, will you? See you later, Luke.
See you later, guys.
Ta-ta, Vish.
Give me your fleece, Luke.
The fleece of champions. It's way too big for you.
Well, Jim.
See you later.
We just turned into some kind of street hooligan.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/ upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.